As we stand, let's just say a prayer. Heavenly Father, as we turn to these, your scriptures, I pray that whether listening or speaking, we may receive a new insight into these, your words. Amen. Amen. Do please be seated. But it's beginning to feel a lot like Christmas, in the words of a well-known song. I think I started feeling a bit Christmassy only yesterday when I was talking to my sister, who was about to go and watch her grandchildren in a nativity play. She has 5 grandchildren, and so she's becoming quite a connoisseur on these school productions. This particular nativity featured one of her grandsons as a second sheep. Not a great part, you would imagine, but he was very proud. His other brother had played the role of a third sheep with great success only a couple of years ago, and he felt he was going one better. And it set me thinking about school nativities. School nativities that I've witnessed and even taken part in. And I remember my own daughters putting on stellar performances as a shepherd and an angel. I can just about remember myself being a shepherd with my father's dressing gown and a tea towel on my head. In fact, I was a second shepherd. But Luke's account of the birth of Jesus, the shepherds have a pretty major role. They're the first people to be told of Jesus' birth. They're the first people to come and see the baby Jesus. Shepherding was central to the ancient Holy Land economy. People there used nearly every part of the sheep, the meat, the milk, the hide, the hair, even the dung. When I was working in southwest Iran nearly 40 years ago, I remember seeing huge flocks of sheep being herded along the roads in search of pasture. Hundreds, maybe thousands of them, being controlled by perhaps 2 men and a boy, a couple of dogs, and they were walking miles with their donkeys and sometimes camels, carrying their big black tents and their supplies. And I remember thinking at the time that this scene probably hasn't changed for thousands of years. And the lives of those shepherds in the ancient world were often difficult. Shepherds frequently lived alone for long periods of time. They moved around, taking the flock from pasture to pasture. The weather could be uncomfortable with heat, cold, drought, rain, or lightning. Wild animals could be threatening. Some shepherds owned their own flocks, but many were hired hands who were neglected or exploited by their owners. Shepherds could be rough. They could even be antisocial. The shepherds who were hired hands sometimes had reputations for cheating their owners, stealing the best sheep. In short, they were considered by polite society to be beneath contempt. You wouldn't want your daughter to marry one. Yet they were chosen to be the first people to hear of the birth of Christ. They were chosen to be the first visitors called to see the baby Jesus. Luke tells us that in the passage that we've just read. Then we're told, when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about this child. So the shepherds were the ones chosen to be the first to share the good news. Those poor, uneducated, unsophisticated men were the first preachers, the first evangelists. You see, the problem we have now is that we've overcomplicated this story. We should keep it simple. I think we should keep it simple because I think the Christmas message itself is pretty simple. God came from heaven to take on our human form, to show us just how much God loves us. And that's pretty much it. Well, maybe there's a little bit more, but that's essentially the central theme of it. When God surveyed humanity and he realized how dark and difficult our days could be, how confused we get about our identity and our place, how many painful things we do to each other out of that confusion and out of that insecurity, God decided to do something about it. And so, after giving the law and sending the prophets, God got involved, and seeing how his people were going astray, he got involved personally and intimately in his failing creation. But something we should take note of: when God decided to get personally involved, God didn't come to punish or frighten or scold or threaten or any of the other things that are often attributed to God. Instead, he came to tell us that we are loved, deeply, truly, and forever. And just to make sure we got the point, God first brought that message alive in the form of a human baby Jesus. He brought this message to people the world was pretty sure didn't find it particularly that they were loved. They weren't that important. They weren't the hierarchy of society. He brought it to the no good, down and out shepherds. He brought it to an unwed teenage mother. He brought it to astrologers practicing a whole different religion. These were the first people God chose to reveal the Messiah to. All of this shows us that God wasn't going to leave anyone behind. This shows us that God's message of love was for all. And that means everyone, whether the people in the world you thought were important or lovable or not. And that's still the way it is. God loves all of us, but he especially wants those who don't feel loved or lovable. He loves those who regularly feel like they're on the outside looking in, those who feel frightened. And he loves those who wonder what the point of life is. God wants all of those to hear the good news of great joy, that God loves us all. And it is by sharing that love that we can share our faith. We see it all around us. We see it in the work of the big charities working to reduce suffering. We see it in World Vision, Médecins Sans Frontières, Christian Aid. We see it in those caring for the refugees in the Mediterranean Sea. We see it in those working in hospitals in Aleppo or in Yemen. We also see it closer to home in those working in night shelters, in the food banks, in the Christian centres giving help and relief. We see it in those caring for the dying, those who work with people with the illness of addiction. And you're all probably nodding in agreement with all these noble causes and the work that I'm mentioning. But let me add to that list. I think I see that sharing of God's love when I talk to Safer Neighbourhood teams, when I sit down in intervention team briefings at my local stations. I'm impressed by what I see going on at the grassroots levels of our communities. I've been a police chaplain for about 18 months now, so I'm still new to it. But I'm slowly discovering what you probably already know. Police is not all the dramatic blue light stuff we see on our televisions. Yes, of course, we need the specialist teams doing the high-profile dramatic work protecting us. But what touches me is seeing the work done by my local stations. There they are, dealing with the high-risk missing persons, the suicidal, the frightened, the mentally ill and confused. I see the work being done dealing with the effects of domestic abuse, drug overdoses and violence. We don't always recognise that. We don't always give thanks for the work done by those PCSOs and the officers of the Safer Neighbourhood teams and the intervention teams. These are the people at the sharp edge of policing. So whether we're thinking of those in the war zones bringing relief, or those working with the refugees, or those working closer to home in our communities, a common thread that we see is that they are all working with those who fall outside our society. Whether they realise it or not, I believe they are all sharing God's love as they minister to those who fall outside our polite society. So, in just 11 days' time, we will celebrate Jesus' birth. God coming to us to be with us in human form. And with his birth comes this simple message. God loves us, and we can see that love being shared by those working to make our lives better and safer. So thank you for the work that you do in our communities. I wish you all a joyful and a peaceful Christmas and a peaceful New Year as well. Amen.